Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning as we continue in our season after Pentecost. A special welcome to all of you joining us from home. It is a blessing that we could be one community together. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise of grace and mercy, I invite you to take a moment of silence for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite all who are able to stand for our first hymn. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, judge eternal, you love justice and hate oppression, and you call us to share your zeal for truth. Give us courage to take our stand with all victims of bloodshed and greed, and following your servants and prophets, to look to the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts and minds and ears to hear the Word of God.
The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a guard far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back, those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Speaking to his disciples, Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in 1 household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law, mother-in-law. Jesus also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I don't know about you, but I have to say I prefer meek and mild baby Jesus cuddled in the arms of Mother Mary. I certainly don't want to hear, let alone preach, about Jesus bringing fire to the earth and causing division among family members. I'd much rather preach about how Jesus reached out to heal the sick and suffering, how he preached good news to the poor, and how on the cross he opened his arms to all. The last thing I want to do in my hearing of the word or in my preaching is to preach about how Jesus came to bring judgment and division, not peace. Yet clearly, Jesus is stressed. He even said so. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Jesus wasn't talking about the baptism by John in the Jordan. That had already happened. He was talking about the baptism that would happen on the cross. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, Jesus said, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Now, all of us experience stress in our lives. We're stressed by too many responsibilities pulling us in multiple directions, conflicted by our desire or our perceived need to be in two places at the same time. Some among us are stressed by aging parents on the one hand and parenting children on the other. Or we're stressed by declining health, whether that of our own or that of our loved ones. Some are stressed by having far too much work to do, and others are worrying about not having enough financial resources to make ends meet. Stressed by time constraints, family obligations stretched thin by a myriad of commitments that we've made. Stressed by situations beyond our control or feeling helplessly out of control. Stressed by the should-haves, the ought-tos, the things that fill our minds, the have-tos. Stressed by our never-ending to-do list. Stressed by the clutter that fills every nook and cranny of our living and workspaces, filling our drawers, cupboards, and closets beyond capacity. Stressing over the heaps of clothing that needs to be laundered, or the piles of papers stacked on our desk needing to be sorted, filed, or pitched, or those forgotten treasures in our garage, or the unwanted or worthless junk that seems to fill those garages, or stressed by the clutter that fills the crevices of our very mind, stressed by the demands that come when trying to juggle the responsibilities of work, family, friends. And lest we forget, there's that stress that comes when we're told we're neglecting our own self-care. Now you can laugh. Because if that hasn't stressed you out, just hang with me. Stressed by the calendars bursting with daily appointments and scheduling nightmares, countless tasks demanding our immediate attention, and then there's the constant reminder of that non-renewable resource otherwise known as time. As the clock ticks in our head, and as I like to say, my expiration date is written right here on my forehead, only I can't see it. But tick, 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 that clock is ticking. Stressed by the cadre of ways we process information in this age of technology and the various forms of communication that we were led to believe would make life simpler. Right? That we were led to believe would make life simpler and make us feel more connected to family and friends, to colleagues and community. But instead seems to have had the exact opposite effect, fracturing, in many cases, our primary relationships and causing increasing anxiety in our lives as we try to keep up with all the text messages, emails, voicemails, iMessages, tweets, blogs, posts, and all those social networking sites, or dare I say, anti-social networking sites. It's no wonder we're stressed. Yet, the stress Jesus is experiencing, the stress Jesus is undergoing, is entirely different than the kind of stress we experience in our lives. Because more accurately, Jesus is not so much stressed as he is distressed. He's distressed. And there's a huge difference between those. The truth is, I don't think the kinds of stress we experience come even close to capturing what Jesus was actually experiencing from the moment he burst forth from the womb of his mother Mary. That Greek word used to describe the state of mind of Jesus in many English translations has been rendered stress, or in some cases, constrained. But it's more closely related to being distressed. According to my dictionary, the definition of distress is extreme anxiety, sorrow, or pain. Words like anguish, suffering, pain, agony, torment, heartache, heartbreak, misery. Perhaps those words capture what Jesus was going through, not so much stress as distress. Jesus said, "I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed." Other translations put it this way, "I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed." And the word to describe that phrase, until it is completed or accomplished, is the same word in Greek that Jesus spoke on the cross when he said, "It is finished." And he breathed his last. So imagine you're going on a journey where you know you'll be abandoned by everyone you've ever known, even those closest to you, your family and your friends. Now imagine you're about to be arrested on false charges, convicted without evidence, sentenced to death, and that soon thereafter you'll be executed by means of a bloody crucifixion. That's stress. That's distress. Given that is the reality Jesus is experiencing in this particular point in time in the gospel according to Luke, it's no wonder that he's distressed. But there is good news. This is gospel. We can say, "Praise to you, O Christ," and I can respond, "This is the gospel of the Lord." The good news is that that baptism that Jesus referred to, the one he said he had to undergo, has been completed. It has been accomplished. It is finished. All of our sin and the sin of the whole world was lifted up on that one lone cross with Jesus. All of humanity's guilt and shame, all of our doubt and despair, all of it nailed to the cross with Jesus. All of it sealed away in a tomb once for all. All of us, past, present, and future, all of us, redeemed by Christ's own blood, which he poured out freely for you and for me. That distress, all of the anguish, the suffering, the pain, the agony that consumed Jesus, all of it gone. Now, today, in this very moment, wherever we find ourselves, this is the perfect time to catch our breath, to breathe in God's grace and mercy, and go out and exhale that grace and mercy on those we encounter along the way. To breathe deeply and fully and become fully alive in Christ. And to live into that promise that through Christ's death and resurrection, we too are given new life. For if we have been buried with him by a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. That is good news. And thanks be to God, this new life is God's gift, which has already been given to you and to me and to all people of all times and all places. It's been accomplished. It is finished. And so am I. Thank you. Amen.
With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. Arise, O God, and sustain your church. We pray for all who dedicate their lives to serving your people. Renew our commitment to our siblings in faith around the globe and bless the work of our ecumenical and interfaith partners. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Arise, O God, and sustain your creation. We pray for all places affected by natural disasters. Transform the devastation of floods and fires into fertile ground for new life and growth. Fill heaven and earth with your life-giving spirit. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Arise, O God, and sustain the nations. We pray for all elected officials. Kindle in them a desire to administer your justice. Strengthen their resolve to defend those who are vulnerable and to stand against all forms of oppression. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Arise, O God, and sustain this community. We pray for all in service to others. Strengthen the ministry of this congregation. Bless the ministry of Lucas Scherson, recently called as pastor to Faith Evangelical Lutheran in Caldwell, Idaho. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Arise, O God, and sustain this assembly. We pray for all in our lives, celebrating with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. We pray for the poor, the oppressed, the sick, the injured, and the isolated. We pray especially today for Terry Chapp, Cynthia Flores, Claudia Hardwick, Joy Lathrop, Tara Pratt, Christine Prescott, Alice Rothstein, Marilyn Tollefson, and Kristen Ware. In our joy and in our tears, be near us. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we remember the saints who have gone before us. May we run with perseverance the race set before us until we find our rest in you and comfort all of us who grieve. We pray for those who mourn Elsie Helwige as we entrust her to your eternal care. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love through Jesus Christ, our holy wisdom. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let's just take one moment to turn to one another, share with each other the peace of the Lord. Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For communion distribution this morning, they'll come up the center aisle and receive one of the wafers, and you will dip it into the divided cup. The cup has red wine and white grape juice. Come, for all has been prepared. Now, may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy, you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before receiving the benediction, a couple notes about our life together. The first is the upcoming blood drive that will be hosted here at Central Lutheran on August 23rd from 10 to 3 in the parish hall. You do need to schedule an appointment to come give blood, and we highly encourage you to do so. You can see on the back of your bulletin, you can either go to the website and then you enter that code, Central Lutheran Eugene, all one word, or you can call that number to schedule a time here on that day, August 23rd. Second, wanted to make you aware, you might have noticed if you came in on the Christus House lot, the work on the roof there, and you'll see the solar panels have been installed on the south side. They're kind of hard to see from the parking lot because they're on the other side. And as that project is nearing completion, we're very thankful. This was a memorial gift in memory of Joyce Anderson. Now, I invite all who are able to stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.